I wasn't by the shul down on Kishon, but I was by the Ulam Sport.
What's the Ulam Sport?
They brought a lot of Rabbanim there.
Wow.
Rabbi Yitzhak Ezrachi, they brought in also.
What happened on Kishon and what happened in
Someone
sport?
Started a new shul, they made a bris, I'm not sure.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, just for fun, nothing specific.
No, I don't know exactly what
it was. It wasn't
politics, huh?
I'm not interested in
it. It wasn't politics.
If there was politics, I'm not interested.
So it was a shul. That's very nice.
Whatever
he spoke,
was.
He gave the retar.
No, Rav didn't speak.
Oh, he didn't speak.
My son asked me, he said, why does he look sad? I said, he's not sad. I said, he's just very old and he's probably tired.
Yeah, that's true. It's probably true, yeah.
Okay, alright, let's go. So we have in this week's parasha one of the most bothersome, at least for me, parshas that come up in the Torah. And that is the parasha of Dinah and what happens to her. And how Yaakov Avinu deals with it, how his sons deal with it. So, you guys know what happens, so I don't have to go over that. But let's start with a few questions. First of all, it says that Yaakov Avinu's initial reaction, the Hechrish Yaakov Ad Boyam, was quiet. Silence. So the obvious question is, why? Why are you being quiet? I mean, you're not going to do anything about it? Second question is, where else in the Torah do we find someone being quiet?
Vayidom Aharon.
Very good. Vayidom Aharon. Why not Vayidom? Why the Hecharish? Why Vayecharish? Why not Vayidom? It's more like a diuk.
First of all, what is Hecharish and what is Yidom?
Oh, good. Yeah, obviously this is going to be different. That's what I'm getting at. Another question is that I think it was the Bartnura pointed out this kasha, and he gives an answer. It says that when they got there, who answered? Yaakov's sons. Well, first they all answered together. I don't know who was the one who actually sang the words. So he asked the kasha that Rashi brings from Chazal by Lavan and Besuel, that when Eliezer came to get Rivka, so it says that Lavan jumped to speak before Besuel, because he was a Rasha, wasn't Machabed his father. So, Mazeh v'al Mazeh, how could they jump and speak in the presence of their father? Okay, that's another kasha. Number four, after Shimon and Levi wiped out the whole city, so Yaakov Avinu takes them to task. And he says, Vayemer Yaakov al Shimon v'al Levi, acharta moisi. You muddied the whole situation, and now everybody's gonna. I'm basically now the stinker to everybody here about Kanani of Aprizi. We only have a few people. Then as for Levi, they can gather together and they can just wipe us out. So they said, it's actually funny, today's daf and daf yomi, there's like four or five sheetas. What's the definition of a zayna in the Torah? Anyway, but so they said, you want that he should be able to make our sister like a zayna? So there's no answer. The next thing is the next parsha, kum, alei beiskel, and then the next parsha. So, what happened over here? He was makabal der taina, he wasn't makabal der taina, seems odd. So, we'll try to, there's gonna be more questions that are come up along the way, but first, let's start with those four questions. Why was he quiet? What's the lashon of a hechrish? How could they answer before him? And, at the end of the day, was he makabal der taina or not? This is an interesting medrash over here, okay? Most of the sources that I'm quoting here are just found with my handy-dandy Bar Ilan CD. So there's an interesting Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah says on this pasuk, V'hechrich Yaakov, harei hu dichsiv, or had hu dichsiv, v'ish tevunais yachrish. So it's a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yad Aleph, pasuk Yad Beis. The beginning of the pasuk says, Baz l'rei'ehu chasar lev. Someone who looks askance, he basically is mevaza other people. He looks down at them. He makes fun of them, so he's chasar lev, he's lacking heart. V'ish tevuna is yachrish, and the man who has tevuna, understanding, he will be machrish. So what does machrish mean? So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Naisim yodei al piv, machrish puts his hand over top of his mouth and he's silent. Rashi and Ibn Ezra both say that it means they say mefurish, it means that he's quiet, and basically he doesn't answer back. He leaves it. The guys ranking him out and making fun of him and whatever, he leaves it. However, again with the Bar Ilan CD, I found a very interesting I don't know if you call it a medrash, in Meseches Kalo Rabasi. You know, at the end of Meseches Vadazara, all the Meseches Ketanos. So it's Meseches Kalo Rabasi, Perek Aleph, Ois Yud Gimel, says as follows. Okay, it talks about the different things that a person could do that could cause them to chas v'shalom have kids that have all different problems. And one of the things that it brings over there is a cheresh, the kids that could be a deaf mute. So then the medrash says, Lama nikar shmai cheresh. Why is a cheresh called a cheresh? You've heard this before?
No.
Why is a cheresh called a cheresh? It's fascinating. Why is a cheresh called a cheresh? Shehu cheresh. Because he is cheresh. Shenemar, the hechish Yaakov ad boyam. So a cheresh, says the Maseches Kalo, is called a cheresh because he is cheresh. As it says by Yaakov Vinu, the hechish Yaakov ad boyam. So, what in the world does this mean? I mean, the word chayresh, v'chayr means to plow. So, again, b'schus the Bar-Ilan Tzidi, I found a fascinating, yeah, it's great. I mean, if you know how to use the search engine, it's really, really good. So I found a fascinating mimer from a sefer called Aksav HaKabbalah. You guys have heard of it before? It's Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. How do I know that? Because on the Bar-Ilan Tzidi, they have a thing where you can touch it for the biography. So then not only can you quote a sefer, you can say who it is also. So he says...
So basically the next question is going to be about the biography of his.
So he says like this, okay? This is on Parshas Vayakel. By the Meleches HaMishkon, there's a pasuk that says, Meleches Charosh... By the way, feel free to take more, like while I'm talking, you know. Meleches Charosh... The Choyshev. So there's a malacha of a Charosh, and there's a malacha of a Choyshev. So he says, what are these two things, Charosh and Choyshev? Right? Obviously this is going to relate back to Cheresh and Choyresh. So he says like this, Ubevechina iyunis, from a analytical point of view, Yoymer Loshon Charosh, ala Choyshev machshavos. A Charosh is someone who is thinking thoughts, Eich Yashlim Is a davar. How is he going to complete a certain task? Lefishu gamkin in charisho, because this is similar to the malacha of plowing. Ze oisek b'achshoras karkel Israel. A guy who's plowing has to get the ground ready for planting. Ze oisek b'hechsher, and this is his word, not mine. Machshaviyi. Okay, the more philosophical svarim use, you know, where they add the yud at the end. So this is a type of preparing something in the realm of thought. In other words, you're getting it ready in your mind. You're turning it over in your mind, just like you till the soil to get it ready for planting. So when you're thinking about something, how to go about it, you're turning over the concepts and the thoughts in your mind to get it prepared, to get it ready. Right? Bahazmanas tachbulais, to plan, make your plan of action. So that way you'll be able to get what it is that you want. Then he goes on and he explains, so what's the difference? Fine, so a chayshev is obviously someone who thinks. The word chayshev comes from the word machshava. So first of all, we see from Ksav HaKabbalah that the Lashon of Charosh is talking about someone who's turning over thoughts in his mind. And then he explains the precise difference between Charosh and chayshev. And he says, beautiful. He says, in the Malachas HaMishkon, there were certain malachis that required taking something and changing its state. You have to change it from the way it is. L'dugma, if you have a mountain and you're going to quarry stone out of the mountain and then chisel it, so you're changing. You're changing its form, you're changing its state, right? Or if you have, you know, leather and you have to process it, you're changing it. Then there's another type of malacha where you're not really changing anything about the chomer itself. You're taking it and putting it together with a certain order, a certain structure, a certain seder. But don't know, he says, the malacha of arigo, when you're weaving or sewing things together, you're not really changing the threads, you're just putting them together in a certain seder. So that's the difference between charosh and chayshev. Chayshev is that I have what I have, and now it's just a matter of putting it together in a certain way. Charosh is, no. I've got to take what's in front of me and change it. And make it into something different.
Nice.
You probably follow where I'm getting at over here. Okay? So it's like this.
It's one thing. Chorosh is changing the thing.
Chorosh is where I have something in front of me. The Meleches Chorosh is where I have, let's say, a stone in front of me, and it's just like a blob of chomer, and I have to make it like a nice, perfect size stone. I have to change it be'etzem. I have to change the chefetz of be'etzem. Whereas Chayshev is, okay, I've got the stones, now just put them together in a wall, in a mizbeach, whatever. So it's like this. In life, there are basically, we could break up the situations, the things that we have to deal with in life, two very, very broad categories. One category is where things are going normal. Shonim ketiknon, if you will. Right? It's a normal situation. And then, there's what I like to call, you guys know what baseball is?
I know.
You know what baseball is?
Not too much in the Gemara.
You know a bat and the ball and there's a pitcher. You know what it is?
You know what having fun is?
No. You should know a lot of Israelis don't know what baseball is. Bichlal. Yeah. Baseball is a very American sport.
Some people are Israelis because I've come from.
You're a very big Mossman.
No. In South Africa, we just don't play baseball.
Cricket.
The kids are. There's something called a curveball. You know what a curveball is? Yeah. It's where the pitcher throws the ball in a way that all of a sudden the batter doesn't realize it, but it curves. Now, if he's a very good batter and he's got a good eye, so he can possibly manage to catch it anyway. Okay, so that's what I like to call the curveballs of life. Okay, when life throws you a curveball. Okay, things are going in a certain way, and all of a sudden, whoa! It's just like, boom, the situation completely altered in front of your eyes. So that brings us, let's answer the second question first. What's the difference between Vayidoim and Vehecherish? Vayidoim, Aaron's sons died. There's nothing for him to do right now. His avoida right now is to quietly accept what happened. Not to do anything, not to think anything, just, I'm a kabbal, I'm silent. I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to ask why, nothing. I'm a kabbal, I'm silent. That's not Vehecherish, that's not what's going on over here. Dina's not dead. She was violated. He was metame her, but this is a curveball, right? This is a major, serious curveball in life. So Yaakov Avinu is vehecherish. His immediate reaction is, whoa, how am I going to deal with this? He's turning over his thoughts in his mind. How should this be dealt with? This is not a normal situation where like, okay, you know, normal things, fine. I have my Gemara, I have my Tefillin, I have myself, I have my Chaverim. Now it's just a matter of just putting things together in a certain Seder, right? Seder Rishon, Seder Sheni, Seder Shlishi, Mishmar, right? No. This is like totally out of the box. So the Hechrish, he's got to plow his mind. He's got to start seriously turning things over. Okay? Now this brings us to the first question. First question was, answer the first and second question. Why was he quiet? And what's the difference between Vayidim and Vehecherish? Now the third question.
So why he was quiet?
Why was he quiet? Because this is not a normal situation. He can't just like, you know, go and just, you know, naturally react to it. It's like, you're walking down the street and you see a red light. You don't have to think about it. It's normal. Yeah. Right? You come to the Beis Medrash, you go get your Gemara, you put it on the shtender, you sit down. It's a matter, everything is already there. I don't have to change anything. I just have to put it together in the proper Seder. Mm-hmm. The Bartnura says, again, it's close to Bar-Ilan City. The Bartnura says, the Yaakov Avinu, why were they not Rishoyim for the fact that they spoke up in front of their father? Because he decided Milchat Chima, he's going to leave this to them. That's all he says. Does not say more than that.
How did they know that?
Well, that, I think, it's a very good question. Probably would have to say mitoich the matzah if they were able to tell it. I don't know. Listen, the Ramban says that sometimes in the Torah it'll say Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael b'shem Hashem the following, and it won't say that Hashem told him to say that. Sometimes in the Torah it'll say Hashem told Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael whatever, and then it doesn't say that Moshe said it. He said because it's obvious, right? The Torah doesn't necessarily need to point out every single detail. You get the idea. So it could be that he said it to them, the Pemali, or it could be that they understood as such.
Or we could say, yeah, ma, what's the problem that you're talking, that the guy speaking before Abba Shalom, ma baya?
Because you're mezalzman, you know, I hear what you're saying. I think it's Muvan Me'ilav, though, that he either told them Lahedya, or they understood. They understood mitaych the situation, that this is what he wants from them. Mm-hmm. Of course, the question that we have to get at is why?
What why?
Why? Why did Yaakov Avinu decide that he's going to leave it to his sons? This is his daughter. Yeah. It's not their daughter, it's his daughter. All the Mefarshim are, all of them, a lot of the Mefarshim are very bothered, like, this does not seem normal. Your daughter was just violated. Take your sword, right? Becharbi Vakasti, and take your bow and arrow and go get her, right? You know, go do something about it. Why are you just like sitting there being quiet? So it's like this. There's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes LeYaakov, and Rav Shamshon Flohirsch came out, writes the exact same thing. They basically both say the same concept, which is that Yaakov Avinu understood that this is not a situation where a straightforward approach is going to help. In other words, let's say you live in a certain city, okay, and the garbage cleaners are not coming to pick up your garbage. So what would be a straightforward approach? Pick up the phone, call the iriyah, whichever machalka is in charge of that, tell them, you know, they're not coming to pick up my garbage, and they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, right? We'll take care of it, right? So that's called the straightforward approach, what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky refers to as machshav rishayna. In other words, I don't have to, like, be metuchkam. I don't have to be, like, a, you know, so wise and crafty about how I'm going to go about this. It's not just whatever occurs to me as, like, what would be the normal thing to do. And Rav Shamshon Flohirsch, they're saying the same idea, but he calls it tzedek. Justice. You know, what's right? That's a straightforward approach. He said, but they understood, if you live in a crooked city, right, a city which is like governed by crime, so then you realize, shkoyach, you're going to call up the city. It ain't going to help, right? So you have to use what the pasuk refers to as mirma, deceit, right? And that's why it says, vayanu. I just don't want to quote it incorrectly. Vayanu b'nei Yaakov eshchem eshchem raviv b'mirma. Why b'mirma? Because they understood this was not a situation. I mean, think about it. The guy just raped his daughter, and then they're coming saying, you know, we want you very much to, you know, be part of us. We want you to marry our daughters. We want to marry your daughters. You know, he really wants your daughter. And these are not normal people. This is not a straightforward type of situation in any way, shape, or form. So that explains why Yaakov Avinu, number one, had to be machrish. Why did he have to be chayrish in his mind? Because he realized that this is a situation that I'm going to have to use mirma. What Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky calls the machshava shmiya. The second way you would think about it, wait a minute, I'm going to have to take this from a different angle. But then the question is, so why did he leave this to his children? Why? Why did he leave this to his children?
Why he left it to...
Why did he leave it to his sons? So I think the answer is as follows.
But after what the rabbi says, is Admar Kashek, with the Matav Mesubach.
Right, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Since it's so complex, he should have taken care of it. So the answer is like this. I think. I mean, a possible approach.
Yeah, but if you're proving that he really left it to his children, then why is he complaining after the decision?
Oh, good. We're going to get to that. Good. Very good. He's asking if he left it to them. He made it up to them. So why you have a tie on them at the end of the day? You left it to them. You gave it to them to do it.
Who said that he left it to them?
The Rav. If our Nuris is Mefurish, he left it to them. He says Mefurish.
We want to do something about this. לא, כן, לא, הם עשו משהו לבד, אבל הרי אבא שלהם שתק, תנו לאבא שלכם לעשות את זה. זה זלזול בכיבוד הורים.
Yeah, that was his kasha. The Rav's kasha is...
עד גרות שהם ידעו שהוא נתן...
How could they speak up? And he says mefurish that Yaakov Avinu מלכתחילה decided he's going to leave it to them. He's going to let them deal with it. Okay, so now... I mean, lo yaleinu 100,000 times over. But if you imagine such a thing happening, chalila, right? This is... a tragedy. This is a horrific, terrible, awful tragedy. There's basically two ways that a person, in a broad sense, could react to such a tragedy. He could either become very insecure, feel very threatened by the world. You know, I mean, like one of the things they talk about is that girls or women that this has happened to, Rahman al-Itzlan, it could wind up negatively affecting their whole life. Their marriage, because it's traumatic. It's a traumatic experience. So there's a way where a person reacts where basically the trauma just, to a certain extent, cripples the person. It just it constricts them, it knocks them down, it makes them feel weak, and basically makes them less.
Right.
Then there's another way of doing it, where a person faces the tzara, he faces the challenge, and he deals with it despite all the pain involved, and he grows from it. At some point, obviously with all of the avos, there's a point where Avram Avinu kind of like stepped out of the limelight. Now it's Yitzchak Avinu, he's like the main one. There was a point where Yitzchak Avinu had to step out of the limelight, and then Yaakov Avinu was the main one. The transition from Yaakov Avinu to the Shvatim is a different type of transition. Because they no longer are avos. Avos are a bechina of the mechollelei ha'uma. They're creating the genes, if you will, the DNA, if you will, of the nation that is going to be. The Shvatim is already, to a certain extent, the nation itself. This is the Am. This is the first representation of the Am, if you will. Now, it's still in a quasi, to a certain extent, a level of like the Avais, because they're not an Am yet, they're not a nation yet, but it's not an of, so it's like the setting the stage for how the nation is going to act. So I think that a possible shot over here is that Yaakov Avinu decided, I am going to make this my son's first opportunity to come into their own. To be a man, so to speak. Right? To deal with it themselves, to grow up. Chevra, it's time that you took the reins. You have to take control. You have to deal with it, because at some point or other, you're going to have to be the ones who are going to take control of Klal Yisrael. You are a Klal Yisrael. You're the future of Klal Yisrael. The Shiv they call are Klal Yisrael. So he decided Dafka now, in such an incredibly difficult, horrible situation, I want you to deal with it. You deal with it. It's like, imagine if you have, just as a dogma, a Rav who's training a Talmud of his to be a Paisik. And after a certain point of time, a very, very sticky Shiloh comes up. Like, oh, like really, just a sticky, sticky Shiloh. He says, you deal with it. You deal with it. What, you want me to deal with this? This is now, you're going to tell me to start Paskinin? Yeah, Dafkin.
Like Solomon David, with the mother, with two mothers that came with a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
But the question is, if, like the rabbi is saying now, so why Yaakov got angry?
Yeah, I'm going to get there. That's what he asked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what he asked. That's what I'm gonna get there. So, in other words, you could have a mahalach where you tell a person, okay, first I'll let you start paskening, you know, simple shilas when people come to ask, you know, about the lulav and esrog and this. You know, the first shilah that he gives them is an aguna shilah, you know, like a very, very chamur dika aguna shilah. Why would you do that? No, dafka, because this is where you're going to grow. Because the more challenging it is, the more difficult it is, the more of a tsara that it is, as difficult as it is, it's that much greater of an opportunity to grow from it, to be able to limamesh et potential, to actualize the koiches that you have and to bring them out.
But a second, there's another question. Yaakov Avinu himself didn't know how to solve the question. How could he give it to his children?
Wait. Hold on. That's exactly part of what I'm saying. This was part of his harisha. Part of it, that is exactly what he was thinking to himself. He had a dual process going on in his mind. One process was, how does this situation need to be dealt with? And at the same time, he's thinking to himself, who should be dealing with this situation? And it's meduyak lahafli in the pasuk. Because what does the pasuk say? It says, Ubanav hayu es mikneu basadeh. V'yakov shama kitim es din evitai. He heard what happened? Ubanav hayu es mikneu basadeh. His children were with the sheep in the field. The Hechrish Yaakov ad Boyom. And he was Machrish ad Boyom. What's ad Boyom? He's clearly waiting for them. It wasn't just like, punk, oh, it happened to be, it happened to work out, that when he finally worked out what he was going to do, that's when they came back.
Nice.
He was Machrish ad Boyom, because that's what he was being Chrish in his mind, both things. How this needs to be dealt with, and who should be dealing with it. Because he decided this is a tremendous, as much as Yaakov Avinu did not want this to happen, and I mean, it's like, you know, I once read an article about a girl who lost her father. And she talks about her growth process of having to deal with this tzara. And she says, listen, I never wanted my father to die on me. And I would never wish this on anyone. But once it happened, and she describes the tremendous growth that she got from having to deal with the loss of her father at such a young age. So Yaakov, you know, once it happened, Now the Mahalach is not to be broken. The Mahalach is not to feel insecure and to just, you know, develop this traumatic sense of pachad about life. No. The tchuna of a yid, and this I think is exactly what Yaakov Avinu, by giving it over to his children, if he would have done it himself, it could be that, okay, Beseder, B'koyach Yaakov Avinu, he had the koyach to do it. No, I want you guys to do it. I want that Klal Yisrael should have in its tchuna, built in, the ability to persevere. I think in Hebrew you call it lehit moded, right? To be able to deal with whatever the difficulty is, and to work through it, and get even beyond it. So that's what I think the Harisha was. The Harisha was, it was dual. It was on the one hand that this was a very out-of-the-box situation, a curveball, if you will, and it needs a machshava shnia dika approach, and also a Harisha of, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for my children, for the Shiftei Kah, to really come into their own, to grow, to actualize their potential, to mature, and to deal with it themselves. Yeah. Okay, so now...
So now
we have to get to the question, so what happened over here? Hare, he gave it over to them. Right? Mitzad Echad. He gave it over to them, they dealt with it the way they saw fit, and then he's knocking them. And then he's giving it to them over the head. And then they answer back, and he doesn't answer. So what happened over here?
No, another question. If you give it to the old Shimon to decide, should I only Shimon Levi went to kill?
Yeah. Yeah. No. So it's like this. So it's like this. First of all, we have a Raya Brura, a clear proof that at the end of the day, he was not Makabel their Taina. Meaning, his Bikaret, the criticism that he gave them, stands. What's the Raya? A Raya Brura.
That what? That?
That it's Mefurish. That the criticism that he gave him, that the fact that like he yelled at them and he said that they made a mistake.
That the nations will come and kill us.
No. But afterwards, they said to him, they answered him, what, you want that he should be able to make our sister like a Zaino?
Right.
So, and then he's quiet.
Right.
But there's a Mefurish Araya that no, he was not Makabel their Taina. What?
He did it.
Very good. In Parshas Vayechi, he says to them, Shimon Velevi Achim Klechomas Mecheresayim, Kibachma Hargu Ish. Right? Rashi brings Beitza Achas Al Shem, and then talks about the other things that they wanted to kill Yosef as well. He says, Eilu Chamor Vanche Shem, and he says, Orur Apam. He gives them a Klala. So he was not Makabel. He was not Makabel.
Yeah, but maybe that's the answer. That we need a starting for someone to become a nation. The question is, what is your motive? If the motive was to do the justice, so it's supposed to be justice. But they apparently, like the Torah says, it came from their anger.
Oh.
They did it because of the fury.
Oh, so one second.
And to be a nation,
hold on.
To know exactly how to do it.
Hold on one second. We'll get there. We'll demonstrate why L'chaira that's not the case. So we have on the one hand a question: if he left it to them, and he wanted them to deal with it, and they dealt with it as they saw fit, so why is he giving it to them over the head, right? On the other hand, there's another kasha over here. Rashi says, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out this kasha. Rashi says on the Achalkim v'Yakov v'Afitzim b'Yisrael. Rashi brings the Chazal that says, "What is Achalkim v'Yakov v'Afitzim b'Yisrael? I'm going to scatter Shimon and Levi amongst the Jewish people. How so?" Rashi brings because Shimon were the Seifrim and the Mechanchim, so they have to go all over the country, they have to go everywhere. And the Levim, so they have to go, the Mechazer Achar Agronis, they get their Trumas and Maisus. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky seems to understand that the Levim also were the Mechanchim, the Marbitei Torah. And the Chorid is a riot for him, because we had in the Haftar of Toldos, I think it's Malachi, it says the Lashon of Brisi Es Levi, V'Tayri Yevakshu Mipiyu. Right, there's also a pasuk that says Ubasa Alakayin or Alashayfet Ashayev Bayamim Mahim. Right, so we see that the Shevet Levi is miyuchud in a certain sense of being the Marbitei Torah. So that's where Rav Yaakov's coming. I think it's coming from.
Mitzrayim, Shevet
Levi. Right, Shevet Levi were the ones who kept the Torah going. Exactly. So Rav Yaakov says, wait a minute. Yaakov Avinu is in the middle of trashing them and cursing them for what they did wrong, and then Bad Bivad, you're going to make them the Machanchim? You want them to be the Marbitei Torah? So what's going on over here? It seems like just one big bilbul. You give it over to them, you're angry at them, and another kasha you can ask. So why didn't he answer them right away? Why did he wait all the way till Parshas Vayechi? When they said to him, so he's quiet, as if he's agreeing to what they're saying. And then later, Imamish is makal them, and at the same time, he's being makal them, he's making them machanchim. What's going on over here? So, Yaakov Kamenetsky says a beautiful word. He says like this. He says, it's not the pshat that Yaakov Avinu was just stam knocking them down. He said, you guys have a tchuna. Now, exactly what that tchuna is, he calls it kanos. I saw in another sefer, where else did I see that he called it? The Chashuk Echem, it also calls it kanos. I mean, it's obvious that it was kanos. I don't think you need, like, really rayas to call it kanos. But he says, the fact that Shimon and Levi, right, it says, Achi, he calls them the brothers of Dina, right, Achi Dina, because they were the ones, you know, who really went all out for her. You have a little water over there? So he says, they were the ones who felt Dina's tsar as if it was their own tsar. They were the ones more than any of the other brothers that they felt her pain, mamish, as their own pain. He said, the za'aka of hachizoyna yasas achiseinu. That's why they were moiser nefesh more than anybody else. Now the Ramban points out that Yaakov Avinu agreed with their mahalach of nirma. He knew that when the Shvatim were saying this whole thing, you know, you'll do Mila and then we'll all be together, the Pasuk says Mefurish, that they were doing it B'mirma. And Yaakov Avinu knew that they were doing it B'mirma because that was what was necessary. Like we spoke out, this is not a straightforward tzedek approach type of situation. This is a Machshava Shnia Arma Mirma type of situation because these are not people that you can deal with in a straightforward manner. So he knew that they were doing Mirma, but what was his expectation? He thought, Seder, you'll wait till they're Kayavim. And you'll go in there and you'll take Dina and you'll run away. Or maximum you'll kill Hamor and Shechem. But to kill the whole city. They didn't do it. To kill the whole city. Why should you kill the whole city? So that's what bothered him. It wasn't the Mirma that bothered him. The Mirma, that's the Hechrish Yaakov. This is a Mirma type of situation. You have no choice but to use Mirma. So he says, what was he doing? He said, you guys have a tremendous tchuna. You have a tchuna that you feel the tsar of the other person more than anybody else. You feel it as your own tsar. And therefore he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find you the tafkid, which is mat'im to your tchuna. Now, that's the way he says it. I would have said it in a slightly different lashon. I would have said it in a lashon like this. That the midah of kanos, they said, achizayni yasas achisenu. Yaakov Avinu was saying, listen, I understand where you're coming from. It makes sense. But you have to realize, you have to have chokhmah in what you do. You can't just be like, you know, like kisus shaitef b'mulchama. You have to realize there's a lot of goyim all around. You can't be mit'alem from the uvdot. We're surrounded by so many more goyim than us. And you have to use chokhmah. What you did was shaloi b'chokhmah. He didn't have a tina really be'etzem on what they did. At least from the pashut mashmos of the psukim. He says, you guys don't understand. What you did was tactically not smart, because we're surrounded, and we're only few. So, what you did, Be'etzem, made sense, but it was without Chachma, and you have to use Chachma. So, Kanos, though, their taina was, Hachizayni Yasis Hachisenu. But Tati, we cannot leave such a situation like this. We have to make a statement, such a thing cannot happen in Klal Yisrael. We cannot allow such a thing to sit. And he left it, he didn't answer them. Why? Because he was being meramis to them, or not even a remis, he was indicating to them, Be'etzim, I agree with you. Lemaisa, you were wrong. And that's why he says, Arur Apam. Rashi says over there, he wasn't makalal them, he was makalal Apam. What is Apam mean? It means the way it expressed itself. The way you did it, Lemaisa, was not correct. But that midah of Kanos, Be'etzim, is a tremendous midah. And why is that matim for the Mechanchim and the Marbitzei Torah? Because in Torah, there's always going to be people that are going to try to get in their own Ruchais, Zarais into Torah, the Bechina of Megal upon him, but Torah Shalai Kalacha. To be a Mechanich, to be a Marbitz Torah, there needs to be a midah of Kanos. It has to be pure emes. I am not willing to have a Sig Kol Shehu of psilis in there. It has to be pure. It has to be betahara. So he said, your tchuna is perfect for harbatzas taira. It's perfect to be the machanchim, because that's exactly what is necessary for giving over the mesaira of the taira betahara. So it comes out gorgeous. It comes out beautiful. What we take out of this whole parsha is that, number one, that even when something as horrible as something like Dina becoming Tameya, and by the way, this is like a really interesting thing brought down from the Arizal, that Dina was a Gilgul of Terach's wife. And Terach had relations with his wife when she was a Nida. As a matter of fact, I remember seeing many years ago a medrash somewhere that says that Avram Avinu was a Ben Nida. Mm. Right? So it stimmed. So Dina was a Gilgal. So because Terach had relations with his wife when she was a Nida, so it created some type of Toma, and Dina was a Gilgal of her. And what's the tikkun of this Toma? That she has to be together with a Rasha. She has to have relations with a Rasha who will somehow, because of that, draw the Toma out of her. And really, it was supposed to be with Esav, right? Like Rashi brings down from Chazal that Yaakov Avinu was punished because he really should have married her off to Esav. Really, it was supposed to be with Esav, B'derech Heter. But because Yaakov Avinu didn't do that, so it happened, B'derech Znos, right? What's the point? The point is, for me at least, the way I relate to such a thing, is that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, but we don't understand his plan. I mean, even after reading such a thing, we say this, so we know Hashem has his plan. But that doesn't really make a difference to us in terms of what we have to deal with, because in terms of what we have to deal with is that a guy was just Matame, my sister, right? And I want to kill him, and I'm going to kill him, right? And I'm in pain. And Rav Shamsher Folhurst says, Vice Atzal Liban, what were they so sad about? They were forced to give something up against their will. I had no choice in this. We had a beautiful Tznua Tahira sister, and now that's ruined forever. She'll never go back to the same Tahara that she had before. So what we see from here is that even where you have a situation like that, where it's terrible, it's horrible, it's like the worst thing that you ever could have Chas v'Shalom imagined, b'chol zeis, the tchuna of a yid is to face it, is to not be broken by it, is to have this Yadda Dishmaya to face it and to deal with it and to grow from it. Now that's a matziv that was not a result of your own fault. That wasn't their fault. At least from Yaakov Avinu's perspective, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his brother's fault. Yes, maybe there was something with Esav, but in terms of like, you know, B'derech HaTeva, they didn't do anything wrong. But then there's another level. There's a level where you're dealing with a disaster, a totally messed up situation, which is completely your fault. You messed up. That's exactly what Yaakov Avinu said to his sons. You guys messed up big time. Do you realize what you just did? By the way, there's a sefer called Sefer HaYosher, not the one that Rabbeinu Tam wrote. There's a sefer called Sefer HaYosher, the Ramban refers to Sefer Melchamos, which describes crazy wars in detail that the Shvatim had together with the Goyim after this happened. Crazy wars, okay?
After already went through wars?
Mm-hmm. According to the Sefer HaYosher, there were like massive wars that happened, crazy massive wars.
None of them were killed.
Nope. And that was the Bechar B'Vekashti. There's like one description where there was like this huge gigantic man, and he was holding Yaakov Avinu like by the neck and about to kill him, and like Shimon and Levi or Reuben and Yehuda came up behind him, both of them with their two swords together, and cut his body straight in half. I mean, it's crazy. Like I remember when I bought this book as a Bachur, I literally was reading it every night. I would not fall asleep till like 2 a.m. It was like reading a novel. It's just fascinating. It's such detail. But in any event, the Ramban says, if we'll believe it, yeah, apparently it's not 100% Eis Galten, but they had it in the time. But this was a situation that Shimon and Levi messed up big time. They really made a serious mistake. Mm-hmm. And what was Yaakov?
Second, Kontra Halacha. Let's talk. What was supposed to be appropriate to Kontra Halacha? What was this?
What the Ramban says that what they should have done. No, was it Mutter?
Hold on.
There's another kasha that the Mepharshim are busy dealing with, which is why was it Mutter for them to kill them? Why were they all Chayiv Misa? So the Rambam has his Mahalach because they were over on the Halacha of Dinim. Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noach is that they have to have Dinim, and since the whole city just completely ignored what he did and didn't deal with it at all, so basically they're being mevatel the mitzvah of dinim. The Ramban says, why do you have to go look for a reason why they're chayiv miso? They do a raya all the time, they do a vadazar all the time. Just, it wasn't Yaakov Avinu's and his son's jurisdiction to be the ones to carry out the din on them. But the fact that they bad some chayiv miso, he says that I don't need to go looking for it. But what Yaakov Avinu would have wanted them to do is he would have wanted them just go in there, wait until they're in pain, go grab Dina, and run, and we'll get out of here. Sure. Or, at the very most, kill Hamor and Shechem. But to go kill the whole city,
that's really mad. If you're thinking it's like, it's really mad.
So, But what is he telling them? What's the lesson that comes out of you over here? Mm-hmm. That even in a situation which is totally messed up and totally a disaster because of what you did, you have the ability to grow from that. And sometimes it's dafka. There's a pasuk that says something like ilule nafalti lo kamti. Right, I don't remember exactly what it says. And then the Chazal say that if I would not have fallen, I wouldn't have gotten up. If it would not have been dark, I wouldn't have gotten light. Sometimes, for whatever reason, the situation is such is that it's a dafka from the michshel when we mess up big time. That's where we learn what our koiches are and what to do with them, which is exactly what Yaakov taught them. At this matzav, he told them, "Listen, Chevra, Shimon, Levi, you messed up." It was shaloi b'chachma what you did. But then they shout out, and he leaves it. Because be'etzim, what he saw there is that you can learn from here the koiches that you have, so that later you can grow from it, to be able to see where you could be minavet, and direct those koiches to do the right thing. So, this was a seminal, like a very crucial, critical point in Klal Yisrael's development. At this point, Klal Yisrael is, as Klal Yisrael, to a certain extent, learning how to deal with the situations that are going to face them, whether those situations are mibachutz, that were forced them, or whether those situations of challenge and difficulty are their own fault because they messed up big time, and how to face the challenge, not to be broken from it, but to face it, to deal with it, and to grow from it. Okay, Atkan.
Wow. But that's true. It's said that